Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Well, on the earth.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, May 18th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome back to the program. So glad to have you here in the middle of the week. My last day here in beautiful legal potland, Oregon for a week or so. Gonna fly off to Washington, D.C. tomorrow, making my way to Normal's national headquarters to work for a couple of days and get some interviews and see the sights of Washington, D.C. That's leading up to next week's Normal National Lobby Day. That's taking place, I think, Tuesday. And the Monday leading up to it, we have our own kind of Normal conference going on. And I believe I'm making a presentation at this conference as well, so it should be interesting. We'll have plenty to bring you from the Washington, D.C. area. We'll talk with Keith Strop, the founder of Normal. We'll talk to some of the folks working at the National Normal Office. Alan St. Pierre is on paternity leave, I should say, just had a baby, and so he's probably not going to be available, but we'll also try to get some congressmen on the record, as we'll be wandering the halls of Congress, lobbying our senators and representatives for an end to this federal marijuana prohibition. Coming up on the show today, we have breaking news that we're going to get to in behind the headlines. Cannabis Now is reporting that there are raids by the Drug Enforcement Administration on medical marijuana in Montana. We'll give you all the details coming up after our cannabis radio news. Also on the show today, in drug war data mining, the New York Times laments the problem business owners are finding lately, not just in Colorado or Oregon, but all across the country. Oh dear, they can't find enough people who can pass drug tests. Whatever shall we do? I have a couple of ideas. We'll get to that in drug war data mining. Also on the show today, it is the middle of the week and it's been a while, so it's time for a Hemp Day Hump Day update with our good friend, the organic cowboy himself, Doug Fine, best-selling author of Too High to Fail and Hemp Bound. He'll tell us the latest, which states have just recently passed industrial hemp legislation, which states are planting their industrial hemp, and where things go from there. We last talked to Doug at the United Nations. We met up with him there during the United Nations General Assembly special session, so we'll probably talk a little bit about that as well. There were all sorts of great protests and a lot of international information to parse there, and we'll see if we can get some of Doug's take on that. Also on the show, at the end of the show, we'll have time for a radical rant, where I was reading on the Huffington Post today a piece by the CEO of the American Heart Association. And it was against Big Soda. And you know, when there's a big involved, there's something's up, right? So Big Soda, or as we call it in the Pacific Northwest, Big Pop. Anyway, the revelation that's coming to many people's consciousness is that, guess what? Sugar is a drug. Yes, sugar is a drug. We'll tell you all about it when we get to the radical rant at the end of the show. But we'll start things off with the cannabis radio news. And of course, yesterday was primary election day in Oregon. Bernie Sanders won the state. And that means Oregon is the first state with a closed Democratic primary that Bernie has won. We'll give you the results of some elections here in Oregon on county bans on marijuana businesses. Got a similar election in Yakima, Washington, city council vote, I should say. And Placentia, California had a city council vote on marijuana businesses. Sacramento's got some information for us on the cops trying to defeat legalization. We've got new medical marijuana rules in Oakland and possible decrim in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, all coming up next.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Great Websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com. It's time to Hemp Present.
I am going to titillate your audio orifices with weekly radio rendezvous with some of the premier movers, shakers, and history makers of the cannabis community.
Radio resident Hempo Sapien Vivian McPeak.
I will be putting out a call to action on issues of the day and putting your interests under the big lights as I provide cannabis commentary and weekly interviews that go straight for the nugular.
Marijuana!
Hemp Present, only on Cannabis Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Wednesday, May 18th, 2016. Portland, Oregon. Voters in a conservative eastern Oregon county just said no on Tuesday to an effort to allow marijuana cultivation and sales. Measure 1258, the same radio call sign used by some law enforcement bodies for narcotics activity, sought to have Grant County residents be allowed to engage in all legal marijuana uses and activities under state law. Klamath County in the south faced a similar measure. With 60% of the votes counted, 58% were against requiring the county to allow state-approved licenses allowing medical dispensaries, retail farms, and retail sales to conduct business. With all the votes in from Grant County, 53.5% rejected the measure. Grant County Judge Scott Myers had said last week that he would be more than surprised if it passed. Shortly after Oregon voters decided in 2014 to legalize marijuana, the state allowed cities and counties to ban marijuana production and sales, where at least 55% of the voters opposed legalization. Over 100 cities and counties have since opted out, according to the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Yakima, Washington. The Yakima City Council voted 4-3 Tuesday night to lift a ban on marijuana businesses. In a reversal, the majority that resisted turning the issue over to the City Planning Commission joined in a unanimous decision to let the commission work on land use regulations that will determine where marijuana businesses will be allowed to operate. The new majority that lifted the ban includes 3 new council members who campaigned on lifting the ban. 2 of them received donations from the marijuana industry. Placentia, California. The Placentia City Council voted 3-2 Tuesday night to allow marijuana businesses, including what will be the first licensed and regulated marijuana grow operation in conservative Orange County. The law calls for 1 dispensary, 1 cultivation site, 1 manufacturing site, 1 testing lab, 1 service for transportation between locations, and 1 delivery service. After 18 months, the council could allow an additional cultivation site and 1 more dispensary. The law must be voted on a second time in 2 weeks. Sacramento, California. Cops and prison guards account for more than half of the money raised to oppose marijuana legalization in California. John Lovell, a lobbyist for police chiefs and prison guard supervisors, has formed the Coalition for Responsible Drug Policies. His anti-legalization group raised $60,000 during the first 3 months of the year, according to a disclosure filed earlier this month. The funds came from the California Police Chiefs Association, the Riverside Sheriffs Association, and the Los Angeles Police Protective League's Issues PAC, and the California Correctional Supervisors Organization. Other donors include the California Teamsters Union, the California Hospital Association, and Kevin Sabet's anti-legalization group Project SAM. However, the opposition funds pale in comparison to the $2.25 million raised by the effort to legalize marijuana in California. Oakland, California. Oakland's new medical marijuana rules include an equity program that is drawing debate. The San Francisco Chronicle reports that the city is reserving half of its permits for people who meet one or more criteria, like incarceration for pot-related crimes in the past 10 years. Supporters say the program helps make reparations for drug policies that disproportionately impact African Americans and Latinos. Industry leaders were generally supportive, but warned the rules could stifle growth. Others warned equity permit rules could block some of the people they were intended to help. Oakland council members unanimously approved the rules Tuesday. Councilman DeKalb said he and other officials will work on clarifying the language. State law requires cannabis businesses to get licensed by the cities they operate in. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's capital city is poised to hear a proposal that would decriminalize marijuana. Harrisburg's council members on Wednesday night planned to discuss Mayor Eric Papenfuse's proposal, which lowers the penalties for marijuana possession. Marijuana possession is currently deemed a misdemeanor that stays on an offender's criminal history. Papenfuse's proposal would reduce the crime to the same level as a traffic ticket. A third marijuana possession arrest would be deemed a misdemeanor under the plan. Incremental fine increases starting at $100 are also proposed. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Wednesday, May 18th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up!
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
The Russ Belville Show. We're as much like Cheech and Chong as ordinary Americans are like the Three Stooges.
Hey, Mo!
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we do have some breaking news for you. This comes from CannabisNowMagazine.com, reported by David Downs. Earlier this afternoon, the DEA raiding Montana's huge medical marijuana provider, Montana Buds. Downs writes, agents from the Drug Enforcement Administration and local law enforcement from around Bozeman, Montana, are raiding one of the battleground state's largest medical cannabis providers this morning. Witnesses at the raid at Montana Buds in Four Corners, Montana, report six members of law enforcement taking items out of the dispensary and placing them in a storage trailer. One woman was seen handcuffed and sitting on the sidewalk. Four Corners metalworking business owner Mike Winter said, quote, "I have no idea why they are being attacked. Owner Chuck has always been a great neighbor," end quote. A DEA agent on the scene declined to comment, stating this is now a federal investigation. Now, the raids going on there in Montana are difficult for us to have to deal with because a lot of you who listen to the show may know about the Rohrabacher Amendment. That's still, you know, being fought over, but basically for two straight votes now, the U.S. Congress
has approved and the president has signed a law that says the Department of Justice, that would be the DEA, cannot use their funds to execute raids, to execute actions against those in the marijuana industry in the plants that have legalized, in the states that have legalized or medicalized marijuana. They're supposed to be hands-off. They're supposed to be not able to spend any money in stopping these people so long as they're abiding by their state laws. Well, that's already been challenged in California by the prosecutions that have gone on there. But now we've got the situation where the Department of Justice has backed off on the Harborside prosecutions and backed off in California. Why are they moving forward in Montana? Well, part of the reason being is because the state of Montana, through its legislature, has hideously clamped down on their medical marijuana state regulations. Medical marijuana was passed in Montana in 2004, and that allowed for the industry to start to grow. They started to have dispensaries. They started to have access for people. That was shut down in 2011. There were new state laws that were passed that pretty much redefined, you know, closed a lot of the loopholes that people were using to make there a cannabis industry in Montana to actually supply people. And they'd had as many as 30,000 patients at one point, and I believe they are now below 3,000 as far as the patients go. And this has severely cut access. It's turned people back to the black market. And these places that continue to exist, like Montana Buds, are doing so in defiance of the state Supreme Court, which in February ruled that dispensaries are illegal. Now, they ruled that in February, but the ruling doesn't go into effect until August. So at the moment, this being May, this Montana Buds isn't technically outlawed by that Supreme Court decision. So that doesn't seem to bother the DEA any, because they are raiding the Montana Buds. And the pictures here from CannabisNowMagazine.com show DEA agents with black hoods on and black glasses, so you can't identify who they are. The DEA and Montana Buds are not returning any comments, any requests for comment yet. They've cut down cannabis plants located near the retail store, expanded their search to include other buildings, requested additional warrants. David Downs also writes, the DEA agents interviewed neighbors about ties to hard drugs like cocaine and heroin, witnesses said. The witnesses said they run a clean operation. And members of the community started to gather, one saying, this is crazy. It makes me sick to my stomach. It's the largest provider of medical cannabis in the state. And it's really unclear as to whether or not the business was following state law, since we've got the where the laws are at this point. The state of these laws are still in flux with these different Supreme Court decisions. They are trying to fix this. They're trying to get a dispensary initiative on the ballot for November. They need to have 34,000 signatures by June 17th. So if you can, get in touch with the Montana Cannabis Industries Association or the Montana chapter of Normal. Both of them can give you information on Initiative 182. This would be to allow dispensaries in the state of Montana. Chris Lindsay, the attorney with Montana Normal, says, quote, we do not yet know what the basis is for the law enforcement activity, and so we are not in a position to speculate. What we can say is the best way to minimize law enforcement activity against marijuana-related businesses is through a meaningful regulatory system. Montana's system is practically non-existent and falls short of practically any standard. Montanans may soon be in a position to change that, whether it's through the voter initiative process currently underway or through the state legislature next year. Either way, we hope Montana can significantly improve the current law. End quote. That's the state of medical cannabis in Montana. The breaking news, DEA raiding Montana Buds in the state of Montana earlier this morning.
that was really horrible.
No, oh, you're always complaining.
Yes, it was really horrible. What's going down in Montana? Montana kind of gets forgotten in the talk about medical marijuana states. It's the one where medical marijuana has gone seriously backwards, where everyone's complaining about Washington State or Oregon. Hold your tears and learn a little bit more about Montana. And that happened without legalization.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Voober vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Voober vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Voober way.
Marijuana is not addictive, but listening to the Russ Belville Show is.
It's time to Hemp Present
with Inadina Stanger.
I say to you with all the fervor of my soul that God intended men to be free. Rebellion against tyranny is a righteous cause. And I believe that with every ounce of my soul, we are fighting a righteous cause because people need nature.
Marijuana!
Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio.
Sweet sativa!
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Drug War Data Mines, we take a look at a story in the New York Times, which reflects in their Business Day column about a hiring hurdle, finding workers who can pass a drug test. And the data from this comes from Quest Diagnostics. It's the largest employer drug testing firm in the country. They've been compiling this data since 1988, and it's always brought to us hilariously by Dr. Barry Sample. That is the guy's name. The guy from the drug testing company is Dr. Barry Sample. Anyway, Dr. Sample puts forth this data every year and finds that for the second straight year since 1988, the second straight year, there's been an increase in the percentage of American workers who tested positive for illicit drugs. It's up to 4.7% in 2014, up from 4.3% in 2013, which was up from 4.1% in 2012. And 2013 was the first year they had ever seen any increase, right? Like when they first did this, when they first started drug testing in 1988, they were getting like 13%. 13% of the people failing the drug tests, and then that's gone down every year since 1988. It's often been used by these drug testing providers to say, see, it's working. See, we're drug testing people, and see, fewer people are taking drugs. Well, what they're finding is that that's not actually true. First of all, what happened in the first few years for the steepest declines in drug testing positives was people learned how to beat the drug tests. People learned, oh, I see, we just have to stop smoking pot for a few weeks and then we'll pass these things. Or, oh, I see, we just need to drink some of these fluids and take some of these vitamins for a little while. And that's how we'll pass. Oh, I see, right? So they found ways, we can just sneak in some fake urine, you know, fake dong, and we can pass it that way. Oh, okay. So that's where a lot of the decrease came. And another part of the decrease came when people found there was a drug test involved in a job. They just decided not to take it. In fact, that's in the New York Times piece here. It says, data on the scope of the problem is sketchy because figures on job applicants who test positive for drugs miss the many people who simply skip tests they cannot pass. And so the whole gist of this article, and it's got Calvina Faye showing up in there and a bunch of these different employers complaining that, oh, darn it, we just can't find enough people that'll work for us. The number one reason we can't hire enough workers is they can't find enough people to pass a drug test. This was in Georgia. Governor Nathan Deal worried about that. One of these guys is talking about, hey, what we ought to do here is people who test positive for drugs, we'll give them drug counseling and job placement assistance. Because what's the opposite of that, he said. There, people needed to fill jobs are turned away, and it's pretty much a national issue. We just can't find enough people that can pass the drug test. This is in Colorado. They talked to an owner of a roofing company. He says, to find a roofer or a painter that can pass a drug test is unheard of. And that was before Colorado legalized marijuana. He said he tried to diversify 3 years ago by recruiting white workers, vetting about 80 people. But he said, quote, as soon as I say criminal background check, drug test, they're out the door, end quote. And so what's going on here? What's going on here is that people are increasingly not accepting from their employer a mandate that they give up their freedom. What everyone knows about this drug testing is that it's not really drug testing. It's not catching the people that drink. You can go drink and go take your drug test drunk. In fact, I recommend it. Take your drug test drunk. Why not? They're not testing for that. People going to work with hangovers all the time who are a far greater productivity and safety risk than anybody who smoked pot the night before. In fact, the person who smoked pot the night before probably got a good night's sleep. It's probably more alert. But we recognize it's not a drug test because it's not catching the people that are drinking. And it's not a drug test because it's not really catching the people that are using any other drugs like LSD, mushrooms, heroin, cocaine, methamphetamine, ecstasy. I could name 12 more that flush out of your system by the end of the weekend. So it's not catching those people. Yeah, you might catch the guy who's got cocaine in his system if he was doing lines before the drug test. You might catch him. But if you weren't catching that guy just through a hiring process and an interview, you got bigger problems. No, what the drug testing is all about, Dr. Barry Sample, is catching people who smoke pot. That's really its major focus, catching people who smoke pot. And we've put our employers in a position of thinking that it's a reasonable moral choice to say, look, if you can't stop smoking pot, well, by God, you shouldn't have a job. What does one have to do with the other? It's like a loyalty oath. It's like requiring a fealty to the drug regime. Okay, I accept that I have to be a drinker. If I want to have a job, I have to be a drinker, not a pot smoker. I accept it. People never look at it that way, but to those of us who are tokers, to those of us for whom this is a major part of our life, that's how it feels. It sounds as silly to us, like I have tales from my mom, who is left-handed, who grew up at a time, and her father, also who is left-handed, they grew up at a time when at school they would have their left hands tied behind their back to force them to have to write right-handed, to deny who they actually were, who they were, for no logical reason other than we had a superstition about left-handedness. That's how silly it feels to us when we have to take drug tests to get employment, and you're complaining you can't find enough good workers, and you're rejecting us while you're taking the drinkers and the pill poppers.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past. past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
You can find Radical Russ online everywhere. Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, SoundCloud, Snapchat, LinkedIn, and Boise State University's 2400 baud modem bulletin board system from 1985.
It's time for cannabis facts about teen drug use from Robert Platchhorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
Mark Twain once said that when there's a gold rush, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. Today, we look at the rapidly evolving markets in the marijuana green rush in our Canna Business Chronicles.
Welcome, everyone. Radical Russ here at the Marijuana Business Conference and Expo. And we just heard the presentation from Nurse Heather, another host here on Cannabis Radio. Hi, Nurse Heather.
Hi, Russ. It's good to be here with you and your listeners.
Yes, it's great to be here. And make sure you check out Nurse Heather's show, Good News with Nurse Heather. And you're doing that about weekly, aren't you?
We tried to. Every once in a while, I get pulled away to do things like in Florida, and I didn't get a show done this week. But that's okay. We'll be back. There's lots of great shows on CannabisRadio.com.
So you were just discussing the basics of cannabis for the people here that don't know a whole lot about it. When you're talking to these new industry professionals, what are some of the most common things they want to know?
Well, I think they're just trying to understand What is this all about? And my big question to them today was, why cannabis? Why, with all the plants around the world that they could get into those industries, why cannabis? And I think they really needed to understand that there is a spirit behind this plant. It is so beneficial as a phytocannabinoid to help with endocannabinoid deficiency as a supplement. And it's just good for health. It's good for humanity. It's good for our environment. And hopefully we were able to teach some people a few things this morning.
I'm sure they picked up a whole bunch. The presentation was amazing. And one of the things that I worry about sometimes is when we look at the healthcare industry, the mainstream healthcare industry, so dominated by issues of money and profit, what do you think we need to do as we evolve this medical cannabis industry to avoid those pitfalls?
Well, I think we need to remember what health care is, and it's caring for health. And a lot of the pharmaceutical medications that we as medical professionals are forced to use because there's no other option, or this is the best available option, is a pharmaceutical. I think that we need to step back from some of those chemical things and look to nature. It's not just cannabis. Cannabis is a wonderful tool, but it's not a silver bullet. We need to take a look at the way that we exercise, the way that we eat. Let thy food be thy medicine, thy medicine be thy food. And so cannabis, I believe, is giving a wake-up call to our medical industry, where they can, in our medical community, where they're saying there's something to this. Our patients are getting better. They're getting off of pharmaceuticals. What's happening here? And although some medical professionals are resistant, others are very intrigued. And we're smart. We're science minds. And so when you start looking at the evidence-based, the research out there, it's hard to argue that cannabis is not beneficial in some way, shape, or form.
Right. The folks here involved in the marijuana industry side, of course, have a profit motive to get themselves educated. On the medical community side, I've often heard a stat that says something like one out of seven doctors even hears of the endocannabinoid system in their education. What can we do to fix the structure of medical education? Because I know groups like the AMA aren't really on our side.
Well, and actually, the medical associations are on our side. They do understand. And you're right, it's 13% of medical schools mention the endocannabinoid system. That doesn't mean that they go into depth or teach about it. They mention it in only 13% of our medical schools. When I went to nursing school, I didn't learn a thing about the endocannabinoid system. And so this is really where we make the impact. We need to be in the nursing schools, medical schools, and pharmacology schools educating about this system and the different constituents of cannabis so that these cannabinoids can be used therapeutically for patients with they're just so gentle. I when we're comparing them to different pharmaceuticals, I can't push another medication. It's been probably 5 years since I've administered a medication other than cannabis. And I just won't do it.
You know, when I think of that medical school stat that you gave me, is imagine if only 13% of mechanics had ever heard of the transmission system.
Well, that's exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, it's, well, the endocannabinoid system is the balancing center, the homeostasis center. It keeps all of our other systems in checks and balances. It keeps it all working it smoothly and moving fluidly. When you get out of whack or you get off balance, you need something to bring you back. And unfortunately, a lot of these pharmaceutical medications that are given, they throw the body even further out of balance. And so we really need to look at nature the way that it used to be, where plants were always utilized to help bring well-being to the patients.
And that's that syndrome where we have the pill for the pain, and then the pill for the constipation for the pain pill, and then the pill for the pill for the pill for the pill.
That's it. It's called polypharmacology, and one big word, polypharmacology. But one of the things that I saw in my nursing practice was the reduction of pain medications, the reduction of blood pressure medications, diabetic medications, because that's what happens when you get your systems back in check and balance.
And then, of course, that's not something that the Pharmaceutical Manufacturers Research Association wants to hear, is it?
Well, they want to make sure that it's legal so that they can compound their molecules together. They already have Marinol. It's been on the market for a very long time. They prescribe it to cancer patients and other patients, so for nausea, vomiting, pain. So they will get their piece in this, but I'm here to say that God made cannabis, and I will trust God over man and their pharmaceutical compounds any day.
And that's been a frustrating part of the development of the medical cannabis world, is we started in the West with whole plant. By 2010, we start to get, you can't home grow, but you can buy at a dispensary. Now, lately, Pennsylvania, New York, Minnesota, you can't even get a whole plant. You have to get some sort of compound. Do you feel that we can bring them around, bring these people around to going back to whole plant?
We have to. It's the safest way. We just have to allow this plant to be. She is here to teach us, here to give us love, teach us compassion. And it is such safe, gentle plant medicine that we should not tell a patient that they have to take it in one form or another. It should be available for a patient to utilize however is most beneficial for them.
Nurse Heather, give our listeners some contact information or some great websites where they could learn more about this.
All right. You can go to azcna.com. That's the Arizona Cannabis Nurses Association. You can also go to cannabisradio.com and check out Good News with Nurse Heather. We have lots of wonderful guests that come on and talk about their good news. And I'm also on Facebook and Instagram as Cannabis Nurse Heather. So come check me out and follow along.
All right. Thank you so much, Nurse Heather. We appreciate the education you're giving to everyone here at the conference.
Thank you, Russ. You're amazing. Keep doing good work.
Thank you. Welcome back, everybody. Radical Russ here on the floor of the Marijuana Business Conference and Expo. It's day three here for me, day two for the actual expo. And we're here at the desk for Massroots. Howdy.
How's it going today?
Tell folks your name and a little bit about Massroots.
Most of it. My name is Dustin Carter. I work for Massroots out of Denver, Colorado. We are essentially the largest cannabis social media company in the world as of right now. A little over 775,000 users on the platform, 10,000 businesses also posting. It's a way to really experience and share, you know, everything you want to do in cannabis itself. You want to find smoking buddies, meet with people, see how what strains are working for other people, and sharing the images to go along with it. It's a great concept.
This has become pretty important for the cannabis community, as I've recognized that Instagram and Facebook have been shutting down a lot of those types of accounts.
Yeah, it's been a really big thing. I think the biggest one recently everyone kind of knows about is Dixie Elixirs, of course, lost their account, and they were somewhere in the 60,000 range. And, you know, we're very close with Trip Keeper and Dixie as well. So it was really exciting for him to really come over and really start, you know, endorsing Massroots, using us a lot more, and also understanding and kind of letting people know, hey, Facebook and Instagram doesn't want you, but Massroots does.
Yeah, we're just going to build it ourselves, folks. We don't need them. One of the concerns people have, since we're talking about, you know, something that's still federally illegal in a lot of places, is whether or not they can get online with this in a non-legalization or non-medical state.
Yeah, actually, everything's actually geofenced for what it is right now. So on iOS, when we were kicked out in Apple, we made an agreement with Tim Cook to, for every state that has at least medical marijuana, you can download it through the iOS app. If you have Google Play or even online on the web, you are perfectly fine. You can download it. There's no issues right there. But if you're iOS, it is only dedicated to the states that are the 25 states that have at least medical marijuana. So we do stay within all the lines where everyone has to be with cannabis.
So yet another reason why I picked Android.
Exactly. There you go. See, a lot of us at the office were huge Android fans. Don't get me wrong.
So another consideration, since we're dealing with something that's federally illegal, is people might worry about the security and whether or not, you know, law enforcement, you know, we've heard all sorts of stories about how they hack into places and try to swipe people's iPhone codes. How well protected is the Massroots data?
Our backend system is actually very well protected. I mean, we have a 36-person team back in Denver, but over 22 of them are dedicated to just backend work, security, making sure everything's secure in general. When you do sign up for the app, you only are requested for an email address, your username for the app, and a password. So we don't have a lot of private information that is going to be given away to anyone there, and everything is very secure. We have not had an issue, nor do we foresee an issue with having that coming up in the future.
And people's email and account, that stays with Massroots. Do you share it with any other entities or marketing?
No, never, never. That is with us. That's our own thing. That's just for us to be able to send people an e-blast if they want to opt into our e-blast list. That's all it is right there. So it's all between us.
All right. So how do people get involved?
People get involved several ways. Is download the app, go to your Google Play Store, go to the iOS, download it, check it out, have a great time with it, and just enjoy whatever you want to do with cannabis and Massroots.
All right, check out Massroots, everybody. I'm Radical Russ on Massroots, so we can chat there as well. Thanks so much, Dustin, for talking to us.
Of course, Russ. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure having you.
Hi, everyone. Radical Russ here on the floor of the Marijuana Business Conference and Expo in Orlando. At the desk for My Roll, Rolling Paper, and Maria Elena.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I hope I got that name correct.
Yes, you did. Very well.
Wow, lucky me. So this is really interesting. You're holding this little, it looks like almost like a tube of lip balm, maybe. Tell us what this is.
It looks like a chapstick, but it's not. Exactly. We have a unique dispensing system in rolling paper. It's a plastic container sealed with ultrasound, so it doesn't have any contaminants to the paper. Holds 14 feet inside of paper. So you just open it, you get the paper, you pull it out to the size that you want, you close it, and you rip it. It's all 100% hemp paper with natural glue. It's acacia gum, chlorine-free, and the most important thing is that the container is water-resistant. You can take it anywhere, put it in your back pocket, it won't get damaged, the paper stays intact.
I know that I'll have, say, for example, a pack of zigzags in my wallet, and they start to stick together.
Exactly. It won't happen. All the paper is inside. Even if you open this container, it'll never get ruined.
Wow, that's amazing. And you've got them in, looks like
in
orange.
We have it in two different sizes, two different widths. It's 1.5 inches and 2 inches and 5 different colors.
Wow. You
know, your color, your style, your mood. No flavor. The paper has no flavor.
That's amazing. So where can people find this?
Right now we're based in Miami, but we're also in Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and we have it in several stores in Miami and Key West.
Fantastic. It's Myroll, M-Y-R-O-L-L. Is there a website?
Yes. It's myroll.us.
Myroll.us. Check it out, everybody. Looks really cool. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you so much.
Great stuff there from the Marijuana Business Conference last week in Orlando, Florida. We'll get Doug Fine on the line. He was in a cell phone dead zone. He texted me, said it would not be a good time to call, but he's on the road and we could catch him in about an hour. So after our 420 break, we'll visit with Doug Fine, the Organic Cowboy, and get our Hemp Day Hump Day update that I know you're all looking forward to. In the meantime, we'll continue on here with Hour 1, and coming up next, the Radical Rant. Hey parents, guess what? Sugar is a drug.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Gondrepreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Gondrepreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Gondrepreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Gondrepreneur.com, helping gondrepreneurs grow.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I also believe we need a fence. The problem is if El Chapo builds a tunnel under the fence, we have to be able to deal with that too.
Okay. Maybe you're high too.
One toe over the line, sweet Jesus. One toe over the line.
Fortunate to have Michael Brewer of Brewer and Shipley. Your signature top 10 song, One Toke Over the Line. I've read a couple different versions of what the tune's origins are. What's the true story?
We were playing a little club in Kansas City. A friend stopped by with some really good hash. We stepped out back and came back in. We're tuning up in the dressing room, and Tom said, man, I'm really one toke over the line. And I just cracked up. I thought it was hysterical. We literally wrote that song just entertaining ourselves and to make our friends laugh.
It's time to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Well, I was reading this post on Huffington Post by the CEO of the American Heart Association, and it's called, Dear Big Soda, It's Time for a Change. Uh-oh. You know that if there's a big involved, there's some nefarious chicanery afoot. Big tobacco, big pharma, big marijuana, big oil, big government, and now big soda, which is alternately big pop in the Pacific Northwest and big Coke in the South, regardless of which soda pop you're talking about. But I digress. The gist of the post was there is a lot of sugar in the drinks we consume. It's not just soda pop these days, but also fruit drinks and sports drinks and milky beverages somewhat resembling coffee. And that's bad, you see, because it makes us obese, and then we have heart attacks and we die. And then, of course, there's the obligatory WOTC. What about the children? CEO Nancy Brown of the American Heart Association writes, quote, "It's time for beverage companies to stop marketing sugar-sweetened drinks to children. We also call on celebrities to treasure their conscience and stop selling out to slick junk food and sugary drink marketing campaigns." End quote. Uh-huh. But, you know, it's not just a call for Big Soda to voluntarily rein in their marketing practices. Brown and the AHA also state, quote, "We have a moral imperative to raise even greater awareness of the physical harms of excess sugar and develop public policy solutions that can directly impact consumption," end quote. Public policy solutions that could directly impact consumption. What could that mean? Sin taxes. The American Heart Association promotes solutions like Berkeley, California's penny per ounce soda tax and Philadelphia's proposed 3 cents per ounce soda tax. Now, 3 cents an ounce doesn't sound much to you until you realize that a can of Coke is 12 ounces and a 12-pack of 12-ounce cans is 144 ounces, and that means an extra $4.32 on your 12-pack in Philly. But don't worry, you can still buy bottled water for $1.99. No taxes included. The other part AHA wants to do here is badger restaurants to remove sweetened drink choices. As Brown writes, quote, "Our efforts to have kids grow up eating in a healthy way has already enjoyed success by removing sugary drinks from some kids' meals at a few of the big-name restaurant chains, and we continue to support advocates who are working to expand these efforts. We believe that kids' meals are one of the first entry points for Big Soda to market and influence lifelong unhealthy behavior in children, particularly those in low-income areas with more fast food restaurants than healthy options, which must be stopped," end quote. Do all these arguments sound kind of familiar to you? Big so-and-so is marketing to kids, and big so-and-so is targeting minorities with its harmful addictive product. So we need to overtax and overregulate big so-and-so to coerce people into doing the right thing. Well, let's just dispense with the pretense, shall we? Sugar is a drug. It's as addictive and harmful as any crystal white powder out there. If you are a parent and you are allowing your kids to consume lots of sugar, you're harming them more than if they were smoking weed. Oh, what? That's too extreme for you, huh? Sugar doesn't alter your mind like, say, cocaine, huh? Well, researchers at the University of Bordeaux in France concluded, quote, "Sugar and sweet reward can not only substitute to addictive drugs like cocaine, but can even be more rewarding and attractive," end quote. And, of course, there's no doubt that sugar can wreck your body. Type 2 diabetes, anyone? Also, consider the DSM-5, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual. This is the psychiatry's diagnosis manual. And check out some of its checklist of symptoms for substance abuse disorder. And keep these in mind and think about anybody you know with a sweet tooth, or hell, even yourself last Thanksgiving dinner. Here's some of the symptoms. Using for longer periods of time than you intended, or using larger amounts than intended. Hell, that's everybody at the Golden Corral Buffet, right? Wanting to reduce use, but being unsuccessful doing so. Well, wouldn't that explain a whole lot of the diet programs that we see? Spending excessive time getting, using, and recovering from use. Know people that binge eat and then have to take a nap, right? Cravings that are so intense it is difficult to think about anything else. You ever known anybody that's got that? Got that sweet tooth? Gotta have some chocolate? Continuing to use, even though they are aware it is causing or worsening physical and psychological problems. Every fat person you see at a McDonald's. So while society was freaking out about the growing acceptance of pot and celebrating the culture of alcohol, it apparently paid no heed to sugar, winding its way into almost every substance we consume. There's like 50 different names for sugar, by the way. You have to get educated on what they are, the fructoses and the sucroses and all of that. But once you know what they are, take a look at the ingredients on things you wouldn't expect to have sugar in them. Salsa. Hot salsa, for God's sake, has sugar in it. Wheat bread has sugar in it. I mean, it's the list of things that don't have sugar in them are shorter than the list of things that do, by a long shot. That, in turn, has led to an increase in obesity. Rand Corporation researchers found that compared to alcohol, tobacco, and poverty, quote, obesity is the most serious problem. It is linked to a big increase in chronic health conditions and significantly higher health expenditures. And it affects more people than smoking, heavy drinking, or poverty, end quote. Rand also notes that, quote, approximately 23% of Americans are obese, an additional 36% are overweight, end quote. That's almost 3 out of 5 people who are overweight or obese. So while they were all worried about us marketing marijuana to the children, they seemed to turn a blind eye to an entire store aisle filled with colorful boxes, literally filled with marshmallows and chocolate chip cookies, that they call breakfast cereal. Well, all right then. Since the do-gooders seem to know how to protect the children from the dangers of marijuana, let's just apply those regulations to sugar, shall we? First, absolutely no marketing of sugar to kids. This means no packaging of sugar-infused foods with cartoon characters, no advertising on morning TV or cartoon networks, and all the products must come in child-proof, opaque containers. Second, any place that sells sugar-infused products must be 1,000 feet from any school, park, or playground, and there can only be a limited number of such places that are subject to local bans. And third, you must be 21 to purchase sugar-infused products, which can only be sold in 10-milligram servings with a maximum of 100 milligrams per package. Well, I mean, if we're going to recognize it as a drug and everything. And ironically, it turns out that cannabis consumers seem to be less likely to be obese, and cannabinoids may help regulate insulin production and reduce the risk of diabetes. So I'm sorry, I am no longer scared by these what about the children. I no longer take them seriously, I guess is what I should say. I no longer take seriously these concerns of what about the children, marketing the gummy bears to the children, will the pot be attractive to the children, while everybody seems to turn a blind eye to the marketing of sugar to kids and seems to just allow that to happen. Sugar is a drug, and I'm just stunned that we can accept this substance into our lives, that we've pretty much given up the fight against sugar and fast food and alcohol. We just let those run riot, but we're going to pick on marijuana. How about we take some of the attitude we've had toward alcohol and sugar, apply that toward marijuana, and take some of our attitude about marijuana and apply that to the alcohol and sugar? What? No? Is that a little crazy of me? How about we just treat all adults like adults? How's that? We treat people like adults. We avoid marketing to kids. We let adults make decisions. And recognize that all you're going to do by instituting some stupid penny per ounce or 3 cent per ounce soda tax is jack the price of soda up. And that's going to disproportionately affect poor people. If the people are drinking the soda now, they're going to continue to drink the soda. They're addicted to it, you see. All you do when you use sin taxes is you punish the people that are most harmed by the substance. People that can afford the $1.99 bottled water and afford the sparkling sodas and whatever else might replace them. Also, consider how many of those people motivated to not pay the sugary soda tax would then switch to the diet drinks that have aspartame in them. So many drugs, so little time. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned. Hour 2 is next. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belleville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it.